We were required to submit reports on corruption to an attorney. And my understanding was that they were all filed there.
They were not
to be sent to Saigon. And this guy said, well, in the course of a year, he said, I handled corruption. In the course of a year, we only got a couple of dozen reports. I said, well, in the course of a year, I filed over a dozen reports.
If the Saigon people knew that was happening, they'd have flipped out probably. Now, lots of power was given to the regions.
This guy was a State Department officer.
Yeah.
CIA knew what was going on.
Okay.
But he was State Department.
Okay.
You know, the CIA station in Vietnam was the biggest in the world. The military activities going on there were the biggest in the world. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of churning around.
Yeah.
There were a lot of, as I learned later, there were a lot of CIA people
marking time
in Vietnam, punching their ticket, marking time, and this has to be done, and I'm going to get promoted here, but I'm not going to risk my life.
When were you presented with the proof? When did you start having that as a responsibility along with your police responsibility?
Let's be clear about this. I was never responsible for the proof.
Okay.
Never. Nobody in Phu Yen was ever responsible for the proof. Jack Harrell was responsible for the proof. He relied on us to... They would come in periodically to use our radios to file reports. They would get their targeting from the DIOCs or whatever you want to call it. They operated on a semi-independent basis.
It sounds like even more than semi. It sounds like
pretty independent.
Pretty independent. Okay.
Yeah. My appraisal of the PIOC was that it was a bunch of people keeping files that were neat and clean. They had lots of charts. They do their briefings, but these were people who were deathly afraid of being sent out to the districts. Organizationally, I don't know how they dealt with the PRU after 1972.
Yeah. Because
we're getting to the point where a lot of Americans were going. In December of 72, you sort of had the peace agreement. And I don't know what became of the PRU.
That's one of the things I'm trying to find out.
I don't know. I don't know what became of these guys. I don't know when the money stopped flowing. There was some talk of turning the PRU over to the police.
Mm-hmm.
The police said, hey, we're not sure we want that. We might take some of them, but not all of them. A lot of the PRU people were recruited from ethnic groups and social groups that were not too appealing to the leading ranking Vietnamese, South Vietnamese, many of whom were from the north, many of whom were Catholics. A lot of the PRU were Hmong Chinese or were Montagnards. Some of them had been with the VC and now were with us, and the police were very concerned about that they couldn't be trusted. Some of them were pretty rough hombres. When Jack would come up, and it was always a problem as to, they'd submit the names, here's who's on the various teams, and so give us the money for these various people.
Yeah.
What Jack would do is say, fine, I'll be coming up on such and such a date. Have everybody at the compound.
Yeah.
And have them come with their equipment.
But somebody would always be sick or somebody's home on...
And he would go down the list.
Yeah.
Face by face, by name by name. That was the first thing he would do.
Did they do fingerprinting and photographs?
Jack was unusual. A lot of the guys... would just let the wool be pulled over their eyes.
Yeah.
I was there through the summer of 72. It was basically, as I recall, it was an 18 to 20 month tour.
Okay.
I came in November of 70 through November of 71 through November of 72 would have been 2 years. So it was an 18 month tour.
Probably May or June.
No, it was closer to July when I left,
okay.
As I recall. And I came back to go to graduate school at Harvard, so I had to be back by August. So I think I left in late July.
Special Branch was always focused on the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Is not Phoenix then duplicating what you're doing? It's just using other resources.
Yeah, to an extent there was duplication. You always get duplication in wartime.
Mm-hmm.
You get duplication in intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have CIA, we have DIA. Why? Well, you know, there's some people say competing analysis, other people say different focus, whatever. So duplication is not in and of itself wrong or improper. Government duplicates. It's part of what Reagan would call the safety net, I suppose. You know, one program may not catch you, but another one will. I think, in a way, the way I saw Phoenix operating in our province,
mm-hmm.
was that they provided a service, and the service was the information that they had in their files. If the PRU, you know, you would try to do targeted operations,
mm-hmm.
but that's like saying we're going to go fishing for bluefish. Put on bluefish bait, but there's any number of things that may take that bait and that lure. So going after the infrastructure is sort of the same way. You try to run a targeted operation and you may end up with something else, so you go back to the GIACs or to the PIAC and say, we got this guy, what do you have on him?
You would go to the PIAC.
Yeah, not me personally,
okay.
but we, the police, or the PRU chief, or whomever.
Okay.
And then they would say, yeah, well, we've got a file on him. Here's what he's got.
Okay.
What we've got on him. And then we'd use that Phoenix file,
yeah.
to build our case with the judicial system, if you will.
Okay.
So from my perspective, these people were a great source of information. We would send a copy of that report to the DIAC.
You did send reports from,
yes.
the DIAC to the DIAC.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And they would file it.
Okay.
And sometimes the PRU would come in and they'd write a report that they picked up somebody who told them this. And we'd get them to send it over.
Okay.
And the military people would do a sweep or something, and they'd do take a prisoner and get some information. And it was all supposed to go into these files. So these files were extensive. I'm not saying it did go there, but that's what we tried to do. So
they're less operational than they are a library.
Yeah, it was a resource of files on people.
Okay.
That was the... You know, to the extent possible, you would disseminate your reports and they'd get out and they'd go out into the Phoenix files.
Yeah.
And we all understood, you know, what the Phoenix files were there for. Those were supposed to be the best files on the infrastructure.
Okay.
And we were supposed to contribute to those files. But we also realized that because they were the best files on the infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
they were the target of enemy collection efforts.
Okay.
You know, DIACs were attacked and the files were burned or stolen. Occasionally, cases would come up where somebody working in one of these offices was suspected of being a double agent. And
tell me,
let's get into the special action team, and I have a couple of documents on that.
What point in your tour did this directive come down? Okay. You know, did you?
Here's what happened. This is kind of interesting, but the month I arrived, and see, we're going to have to sort some things through here. The month I arrived, this operation took place.
Okay.
With my counterpart, who's here. He's the special police chief. And with this guy, whose name I forget, but he was the guy that wanted to start the special intelligence unit. We'll go through this to make sure we get the right names. They called it the Viet Kich Doi Tin Bao. Now this, my counterpart was a former Foreign Legionnaire,
mm-hmm.
a paratrooper. He was not a special police chief that wanted to sit behind a desk.
Okay.
He was action-oriented to begin with. This guy here was also of the same sort. They had gotten
mm-hmm.
a source that gave him some information about some VC holed up in this bamboo area in a hole. And so they got suited up and they went out to check it out. And lo and behold, they were in there, and they talked to him, and the guys wouldn't come out. And eventually, there was an exchange of gunfire, and they popped a grenade, and the three of them were killed by the concussion. And they were all VC, and they all had documents on them. And here was the letter that went out on 23 November, signed by Tran Quan Nam, who was the police chief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's the chief of the Fujian National Police. To the National Department, MR2, Second Tactical Zone.
Police Special Branch Office. Yeah.
The list of names, positions of the cadres who were killed on the 10th of November. Now, this happened the month I arrived.
Yes.
Okay? And it was the success of this operation
okay.
that led to our forming a special group. So that happened early on in my tour.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Now, we later called it the... I called it in this thing here, and I haven't looked at these books for years, Intelligence Special Unit. But as we get in, they have another acronym for it. So they were all fairly
important VCI.
Folks.
VCI. Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, this was considered a big
province people, that's unusual.
They got information, they went out, they located them in that bunker or whatever you want to call it. It was the sort of thing they spend the night in, you know, they move around a lot.
Yeah.
They caught them in there, the guys wouldn't come out, and they killed them. That's the way it is. It's too bad. Some people would say they were assassinated, but it really wasn't the case. Okay, the Police Intelligence Special Unit was formed and trained in October, November 1971.
Okay.
So that was a year after this other operation.
Okay.
They operated in Tuyen and Son Hoa. This was their first successful targeting operation in Tuyhua itself.
Mm-hmm.
They are all volunteers from the Special Police and the National Police Field Forces, NPFF.
Mm-hmm.
They are commanded by the Special Police Operations Section and perform other duties for the section on a regular basis. They receive no additional pay, bonuses, or promotion benefits by serving with the unit.